Major Plowman, Reel 1. Can you tell me if there was any tradition or background of military service in your family?
My father was C3 when he volunteered in 1914, so he went back to civilian life. My aunts we called them uncles, but they were involved in the war, but they went back. My mother's cousins from the Skills. Became a major, I think, in the West Yorkshire Regiment. And another uncle, by marriage, who lived locally, was also in the war, but otherwise, no, I had no connection with the army.
When you were at school, did you do any military training? Were you in a cadet corps or anything of that sort?
No, we didn't have a cadet corps, and I didn't join the scouts. I had friends who were in it, and I also had.
But you were growing up in the 1920s and 30s. Did you develop expectations of war?
Yes. Hitler went into Czechoslovakia over in spring of 39. From then on, the people of my generation knew they would be involved in the war, or thought they would. And locally, I didn't see myself as being a pilot, which most young men wanted to be because of my eyesight. And so I thought of tanks, and there were no tanks left, so I didn't join the Territorial Army. I was in the LDV from the start, which became the Home Guard. In 1940, best of my recollection, I wrote to the War Office to see if I could join the Royal Tank Corps, as it was called then. And they wrote back to me and said they had no vacancies in the Royal Tank Corps unless I would become a regular soldier and serve 7 years and then 5 on the reserve, which didn't appeal to me. I could go into the infantry of the line. I did nothing. I was involved in my family business by then, and there was quite a lot of family opposition to my joining the army, and it was necessary. However, I volunteered again, I think, in October, November, by which time it was possible to go into the Royal Army Corps.
Can you say what arguments the family used in opposing your desire to join the army earlier than necessary?
I was all implicit, really. I sort of grown up with the business, being involved in the business almost as a boy. I mean, I would ride on the car courses. I had a pony which fed at the mill and that sort of thing. And some of that in the paddock back behind my eyes. And I knew all the men. I from the age of 17, I had managerial duties. So,
what was the family business?
We were what were known as corn and cake merchants and feed mothers, animal feed, engaged in animal feed manufacturing.
Now, you mentioned that you became sure that there would be a war in the spring of 1939 with the German occupation of Czechoslovakia. Was there any apprehension that there might be a war earlier on?
I think the general feeling was that Chamberlain had done a good job in saving us from going to war. The 7 years during the winter months, it became clear not that it was near the extremes. One began to listen more to Churchill and his friends there.
Did you ever, at that time, conceive of Italy as being a possible enemy?
No. Well, one hoped not. And one hoped that, of course, one stage, I think, before the link, Mussolini put his troops on the Brenner, but would seem to say that he didn't want World War, didn't want to be engaged in anything outside in an empire in Africa, and of course he was also very well interested in, I don't remember how it went, but at Nice and Savoy were one of the three he was going to be mentioned when he cried for ransom at his behest. But one hoped that he would be a moderating influence. Of course, he played the role of a jackal in 1910.
You've also mentioned being interested in flying in a theoretical way and interested in tanks. Did you have any expectations about military aspects of warfare?
Well, history was my favourite subject, and military history to some extent, yes. I was a romantic for this. And I suppose before mechanisation, I would have gone in the cavalry. I read everything I possibly could in the newspapers about matters military. First of all, Germans. I was interested in politics generally, but I had no great access to other than the newspapers and inside information.
Do you remember ever reading anything written by Basil Littlehart?
Yes.
Do you remember if you found them persuasive or convincing, the ideas in them about the future of war?
Yes, I knew about Poland and Sweden. I can't remember much about it, and I did. There were people known to me, and I would read it afterwards.
You mentioned that you joined the LDV from the beginning. What happened here regarding the LDV? Did it form on a spontaneous basis?
Yes, I think we met through our local paper, the Lincolnshire Free Press, and the old Radcliffe rally one evening in the cattle market where there was plenty of space, and we were issued with a rifle and a band, an LDV band. Then within 2 weeks we became the Home Guard.
What did you actually do when you were on duty with the LDV?
Well, I remember we had various. Of course, I was in a platoon, and then I was in a certain section in this platoon, and we would have guard duty. I remember spending one night with another chap on top of the Gasanovo, which afterwards seemed a rather dangerous place to be. Of course, I don't think the ARP was being set up. It hadn't got properly organized, and we were really enemy aircraft were our main concern at that stage. Then later on, I remember when this word Caesar came through, which, we all recall that in the movie, the knife, and I said the knife in a ditch not far from my home. The amusing thing is that by that time, I learned afterwards, my regiment had moved down from Brockelsby and they had two squadrons in Boston and one in Spalding. Then the squadron leader and his second command were in the local trust house to buy the knives. And then they got this alarm through the word Caesar. They hurriedly dressed, went down and tried to get out of the hotel. But the proprietress had locked all the doors and they couldn't get out. That was something I heard about later, of course. But at that time, I knew nothing of the Derbyshire Regiment.
So you were in a ditch with your rifle, waiting for the enemy.
Yes. Parachuted.
How did you get trained to use your rifle? Do you remember that?
We went on the range once. And I think that was it. We drilled and all that sort of thing.
When you went on the range, can you remember how many rounds you fired and what sort of targets and what sort of distances?
No, I can't remember much about it. I think probably 6 rounds was our max, but possibly 12. And unfortunately, I wasn't a very good shot. So another reason for not going into the infantry.
Did you do any tactical training in the LDV?
Well, then it was the Home Guard, of course.
Yes.
The LDV only for 2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Yes.
I can't really remember us doing. No, it was mostly individual training. Mm.
And static guards was the main duty. Yeah.
Of course, I was only in there for like 4 months. Mm. Well, no, it was longer, so 6 or 7 months. Yeah.
You mentioned the code word Caesar for a reported parachute attack. Were there any apprehensions about there possibly being a fifth column?
Yes, there was a lot of publicity given to lead to not to give anything away or secrets away. Yes, we were very conscious of that. Of course, Quisling was the sort of great example. We heard a lot about Quisling. And then, of course, the vowel. Other places. And security became very important. And I can't really remember in 1940 how intense that was, whether that was getting on later, but I think the invasion, there was a very concerned about the possibility of an invasion. And that went on quite a long time because later on when the autumn of 1941, or the winter of 1941-2, when I was in the Indian Corps, which was in the ranks, we did a tute to a tactical exercise with our troops, in which we went down to just below Huntington on the Lee to deny the crossings for the enemies. That was You see, that was in the autumn or winter of 41-2. So wasn't, I think, it was a very positive, the whole idea of invasion was.
Did you know anything about the scenario with regard to expected enemy action for that Teut? What did they say about the enemy and their strength and intentions for Teut purposes?
The scenario was that the Germans were more than in the process of conquering England and Great Britain. And they'd landed in the southeast and they were coming north.
And the Nene was to be a line of defence?
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been an effective line of defence?
Well, in eastern England, every river crossing obviously has to be defended for a time. There were no other physical obstacles to prevent him.
As you said, you'd been told there might be a vacancy in the Royal Armoured Corps. What was the next step in joining the army after your exchange of letters with the War Office?
I received the sums straight to Glen early in the January, and I went to swore the oath, which I repeated after this lieutenant colonel, until it got down to his heirs and successors said over me, and I could not get those last three words. He seemed to slur them, so I slurred them in turn and hoped that they were well. And then I got my papers to report to Perham down near Tidworth on the 13th of February. And got a rail warrant to go there. And I think, as far as I know, we went and left from Paddington and had to change from to Savernake, which seemed like it seemed to fill the ghost train. And the station at Savernake reminded me very much of that. Anyway, we mainly got there. The first job was to stuff our palliasses with straw, and we went to our barrack room. There were about 24 of us in this squad, and a lot of those sweats there. Well, then I quickly learned what it was like to swear like a trooper, and they were more or less filling us with horror stories, which no one will fulfill. We were drawn from all sorts, all ways of life, all different social classes. And it's quite interesting, really, because I was a Catholic. I am a Catholic, and we're still RCs. We can go to Mass on the Sunday morning, excuse church parade, and go to Mass in the canteen, regimental canteen. And I went up to the chapel that came from Birmingham, and I asked the Paddy Mass is for us is at 10 a.m. in the regimental. He said, "I don't think I can be going, mate." And so I went on my own. The Monday, on the Monday, life began at earliest. We were knocked into shape by the sergeant from the 13th 18th Hussars, who gave us help.
How did he go about doing that? What methods did he use of?
Well, a lot of as you were, so it worked in drilled well.
When were you actually issued with uniform and other personal kit? Was that on arrival at Tidworth?
I think we got denims that night, and then yes. The following day, the Saturday, we got our uniform. Mm. And of course, we were issued with two pairs of army boots, and the whole weekend was really devoted to one pair of getting one of the pair of these boots in balled up.
Parade condition. Parade condition.
But it's stayed with me all my life. made a great impression. It's so important. The commanding officer was an Olympic Tsar, as was his ancient Captain Palin. The NCOs were drawn from one of the officers came for, they could be RTR or for the cavalry.
How did you take to the discipline? Did you find it easy to accept, or was it difficult to adjust to a regimented life?
Discipline never bothered me. I didn't particularly like drill, because I think I was in an old chap. Draw abuse on myself. But I was all right, very upset.
Did you think that the uniform and the boots were good, practical equipment for soldiering?
The uniform did the boot marches, the boots were. I really can't say whether it was necessary for them to be so uncomfortable, or whether today one could have some more suitable boots. But they were very serviceable, and eventually one got used to them and was comfortable in them. The personal equipment that the of course, there was great emphasis on the barrack of the man had to be ready for inspection every morning. And we bumped, we had a bump on him and polished the floor. And our kid had to be just so. I'd always been able to have a bed that I can get into, and I'd roll on my blankets, like a Swiss roll. And that sort of thing, but they all worked a bit. There was no way to put a book on it. Nothing could be showing. The space allotted to one, well, the cabin space was very limited. But it was good for one, it did give one self discipline.
What about the food? How did you find that?
I didn't enjoy the food. I suppose it was adequate. At break, we went to the canteen, and it was a char and two wads, and it seemed very welcome. Mm. And another friend of mine used to go every night to the White Hart and end to have a civilized meal for 5 shillings. That was the sort of world leisure event in the week, if you will. And I had to get my parents to subsidize me for that, because we got 17 and 6 a week, and the first week we only got 15, they paid out 15 shillings, and 20 shillings the next week, which was cramping. And then there were barrack room stoppages and this and that, which one never knew what, you know, could ever be in the room, but a week or two, and there were these barrack room stoppages, no one knew what they were for. So it spread out over the whole barracks, really, a levee.
You mentioned doing drill. What other subjects were on the syllabus for your initial training?
Then after 6 weeks of initial training, we specialised. The others became gunners, driver ops, gunner ops, and ops.
Were these subjects taught in a theoretical way or in a practical way? And did you do them indoors or outdoors mainly?
It was mainly indoors. Almost all of it was indoors. Yeah. You fell out for a smoke every 40 minutes or so. I think we did a bit of map reading. It was all, everything was indoors. And the gallery was in a large two pounders, this pounder. The drill. And later on, well, at some stage, we had a visit to the king. And of course, there was a tremendous bull throughout the camp, down to the forefront. And we, at that time, we were doing down as a squad, and we sort of got, there was this drill, you see, in your crew, you know, that you had to do. And on the word go, there was a door open, we sort of begin the drill and go through it, you see. And one of our number was in, in fact, from Staffordshire, country, I think. He couldn't see over this properly over his shoulder. And he said, there are a lot of bloody brass hats about. And of course, the king was right behind him. But anyway, that's all I remember about the royal visit.
You haven't mentioned physical training. Did you do PT?
We did PT.
Were you fit when you joined the army?
Very fit. I played rugby a lot. I played rugby from the beginning of this regiment, this training regiment, and the prison proxy. I got in the 7th of the regiment, the senior sergeant. Bulford.
Yeah.
And I never played 70 before. It was very harrowing if you weren't used to it. And to my chagrin, we got in the final. We were beaten in the final with Alison. Well, I've known it was such an ordeal, I would have trained a lot harder.
It is a very fast game.
Yes, right.
You did mention doing route marches. What sort of distances were you covering on route marches?
Well, I don't know whether we did a route march at the
initial.
But we did. I can only really remember one in the end of the course. And I suppose I did have lots of them. 6 or 12 miles, I'm not sure, but I found it very keen. He weren't broken in gently at all. Suddenly, all the longer, just kind of struggling, which was on the roof.